Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Welcome to episode 261, where this one's fun. A couple friends of mine that were fired from their radio job, and this is a music podcast, and I just want to talk about that. Like, how'd they find out? It's a very insider thing, but I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're kind of an insider anyway. You probably wonder how radio works. And their names are Carla Marie and Anthony, and they were fired from their job in Seattle, and they were kind of taken on and off air, on and off air, on and off air. But yeah, and I think I was just bringing them in to ask about the firing, but it turned into a whole conversation about their career in radio, which I liked. Didn't you think it's good?
I thought it was good.
Well, listeners will tell us, but I thought it was good. So it's a little behind the scenes in how radio works. Also, we'll talk to Damon Whiteside, the president of the ACMs, because the ACMs are Wednesday. And then Eddie will be by, and we'll do the number one songs that were dirtier than WAP, which means wet, blank, blank.
Yeah.
But there are songs that you may not even know they were that dirty. We'll do that here, too. So I picked 5 songs that are new music that I've been most interested in. I got to say, none of these am I excited to just have.
Okay.
But this week is like the 5 songs I'm most interested in. Number 5 is Of Monsters and Men. They're kind of hit and miss with me, but when they hit hard. Like, I love them. Sometimes they're a little weird. Of Monsters and Men, they released a new track called Visitor. Oh, you need to wake up. I can't tell you. There's some here. Okay, I may like that one. Joe Keery from Stranger Things. You know which kid he is?
Steve. The kid with the hair.
Yeah, the curly hair kid. Yeah. Yeah, he has a funky new song out called Keep Your Head Up as his musical alter ego, DJO. Pretty cool, huh?
I like it.
Kind of the Justin Timberlake falsetto type thing going on. That's number 4. Number 3, Reba released her new album, Rumor Has It, which originally came out September 4th, 1990. It features Fancy, but here's a brand new version of Fancy. It is a dance remix. She said, if you want chance, fancy, don't let me down. She said, if you want chance, fancy, don't let me down. Dan and Shay released an acoustic version of their song, I Should Probably Go to Bed.
I should probably go to bed. I should probably turn off my phone.
And Ingrid Andress put out a cover of Dua Lipa's Don't Stop Now. Here you go.
Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now.
Yeah, that. Other things coming out. Riley Green has an EP out called If It Wasn't for Trucks. Florida Georgia Line has a song called Long Live. Looking at things that didn't make the list, but also are mentionable. Kelsea Ballerini released her new album, Ballerini, which is the same as Kelsea. Her other record, just acoustic.
Mickey Guyton has an EP called Bridges. Marilyn Manson has a new album out called We Are Chaos. Youngboy Never Broke Again has a new album called Top. Flaming Lips have American Head. And I think that's it from what I see here. Quick music news. Dolly Parton lands first Christian airplane number one. Here you go. Enjoy this clip. Dolly tops the chart with her collaboration with Zach Williams. There was Jesus. So congratulations to Dolly. Jay DeMarcus has advice on how not to suck in country music. Number one, you should always be true to yourself. If you follow trends, that's what everybody else is doing. You won't have your own identity whenever things sucks. And so your music will suck. His other advice is don't be afraid to collaborate with someone outside of your comfort zone. Can agree with that. Billboard's song of the summer is DaBaby, Rockstar. Number two is The Weeknd, Blinding Lights. Number three was What's Poppin' from Jack Harlow.
What's poppin'?
Featuring DaBaby, by the way. Megan Thee Stallion featuring Beyonce, Savage at four. And then at number five, St. John, Roses. The home invader Eminem confronted earlier this year told him that he was there to kill him. I hope you get this, man. Hit me back. Just a chat. At the time, it was reported he wanted a meeting with the rapper, but now it wasn't friendly. You see that story, Mike?
Yeah.
What'd you take from it?
I mean, that's crazy, because when I first heard about it, it was like, oh, I just wanted to meet you and like hang out with you, and now it's like, no, I was there to murder you. Yeah.
And then Beastie Boys announced career-spanning compilation album. Beastie Boy music is out October 23rd. 20 best of compilation. I'm the Beastie Boy. Yeah, I probably already have all this stuff anyway. All right. Enjoy that. I think you'll like this podcast. It's a little inside, what they call inside baseball with the radio guys here. But check it out. ACMs. Eddie comes on, talk about WAP. There's some funny songs that you didn't even know were probably dirty. That are really dirty. All right. Enjoy. See you guys. All right. In studio now with Carla Marie and Anthony, who you guys were on in Seattle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And for 4.5 years.
And now you're not.
Yeah, that's the story.
Which is interesting to me, and I don't know how much you guys are willing to talk about that situation. Are you?
Yeah.
Openly, you don't care?
Yeah.
That you guys have been so open on social media about it, where you guys got the axe in radio.
Yeah.
In a city that you're not really from. And now it's like, my thought is, do you keep living in Seattle?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have asked that. And I think one of the things that we made a point to do when we moved to Seattle, because we're both originally from New Jersey, we made it a point to make Seattle our home when we got there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird now because I do love the city, but I also know that my options probably don't live in Seattle anymore. So it's like this weird breakup thing going on, like who keep the dog kind of thing, you know, where even though I love being there, I know that the future probably isn't there, but we're going to kind of stay there until we figure out what the future does hold.
So that's going to be home until there's a different home.
I mean, I own my house there. I haven't even lived there a whole year. So it doesn't make sense for me to move and then have to move again. Because I wouldn't even know where I would move to now other than in with my parents. And it also, as much as I love Seattle and I love my life there, it doesn't make sense for me to live there when my entire family is on the opposite side of the country, like the literal opposite, every single one of them. And like Anthony said, opportunity-wise, I don't know what would be in Seattle. So right now, yes, it's home. Maybe that changes. But to jump ship right away, to have to jump ship again, doesn't make sense. I hate moving.
So let's go back and talk about you guys' kind of origin, because you both interned for Elvis Duran.
I was part-time, kind of.
Yeah. You never interned?
I never interned. I started as a promotions assistant for the street team for 103.5 KT, which was like kind of a dance station at the time when I worked there. So I was the person putting up tents, doing all that stuff. And then I transitioned to become Elvis's personal assistant.
You were Elvis's assistant?
Yeah,
he personal. Was the first and worst.
Yeah, first assistant.
Wow.
And it wasn't even an iHeart job at the time. Wait. It wasn't even a real radio job. He paid me out of his pocket, basically.
That's why Anthony is Worst Anthony, because he was considered, his name on the air was Worst Assistant in the world.
That's why it's Worst Anthony?
That's why it's Worst Anthony.
They I had no actually, idea.
So there was a reservation that was messed up. And there was a couple that this happened when it was. But our production guy, Ronnie, as he found out the story, made like on the fly, made this piece of audio that was like worst assistant in the world before I came into the studio. And it just stuck.
It stuck.
So as I was making Instagram and Twitter handles, I was like, let's go with, it was originally worst assistant. And then as I started doing other radio stuff with other radio shows in New York, I said, I'm going to keep the worst part. It's my actual name. So worst Anthony.
You know, it's funny. The assistant thing too, is I've used that position as just a holder for some folks because I wanted them to have a job until I could get them a real job. Mike, were you ever my assistant?
Yep.
Okay,
there
so
there it is.
Briefly. And I think I told Mike, you're not going to do this very long.
Yeah.
But, and it wasn't really a radio assistant, but it was like a life assistant.
Yeah.
And so Mike Morgan, number one, was also my assistant for a while. I have a great assistant now who has no interest in being in radio.
That's
so
cool.
It's fantastic. But you, so you started as,
yeah.
How much? And then, how much you pay you?
Not much. Not much. But you know what's funny? It was. But I will say this. So I remember interviewing for the job. I originally interviewed with what's his position now? Chief Programming Officer Tom Pullman. He needed an assistant at the time. Interviewed with him. He already had someone else in mind, so he suggested me to Elvis. And I still remember after doing the interview and going into Elvis's office, he offered me a number. And right away, because I was part-time at the time, so that number that he offered me was like the biggest number I'd ever seen in my life.
50,000?
Not that much.
Okay.
But keep in mind, I was making $7 an hour as a part-timer.
Yeah.
So he offered me a full-time job, and there were some zeros that I'd never seen before. So right away, I was like, and I remember looking back now, he was like, are you sure that's all you want? Because I think what he did was he had a number that was probably higher than he was willing to go to. But I was so excited for the job. I just said, yeah, absolutely.
But how are you supposed to know when you're new,
right?
Exactly.
When I was offered my first morning show job, I was, you know, I was doing nights in Austin. I'd been offered to go to Seattle at the time and do a night show there. I was 22, maybe 20. And I was like, I went and told my boss, I wasn't even on a contract in Austin. And I was like, hey, you know, I don't know if this is working out for me here. The station was in the toilet. We had a syndicated morning show that didn't have any traction. And so they were thinking about flipping the station. I was like, it's not working. I think I'm going to go do nights in Seattle, bigger market than Austin, and just give me – and I felt good about the station. It was like – I think it was Kiss FM in Seattle at the time.
It would have been pop music. It would have been top 40.
Well, I wasn't top 40.
Yeah, you were.
And so he was like, okay, well, what else would you want? And I said – just throwing it out there. I said, well, listen, one day I'm going to do mornings and I'm going to be a massive morning show host. And he was like, okay, well, you're a little too young for that now. And I was like, I get it. But I'm going to do it one day. So
that was the goal.
I was like, don't be the guy that didn't ever give me the shot that I'm going to look back on and be like, you never gave me. So just left. He didn't offer me anything. I came in and they offered me $50,000. And I was making that basically doing nights, like $8.50 an hour doing nighttime radio. And your offer's $50,000. I was like, yep, I'll take it. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I'll make it 45. You know? However,
I'll do it.
The same thing. But I didn't have anybody that I was working with. I knew no better.
No.
I think they were, and I said, I'll take it. And they were like, you will? I was like, I'll sign the contract right now. I don't even need, and that's what I did.
I think I actually ran at some point. I remember cutting off that meeting because I was like, I'm away.
Yep.
Like, that's how nervous I was. I was like, yeah, absolutely.
I get it.
And kind of just walked away.
And because when you're broke and someone throws you a lifeline, you grab that freaking thing. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And hold on tight. But I learned a lot from that. I'm glad that whole experience happened.
Oh, absolutely. I learned so much from Elvis. And then I became his video guy and kind of became kind of this jack of all trades producer thing.
He ever yell at you?
A couple times.
As his personal assistant?
Not that bad, though. Considering how much I messed up in the beginning.
Yeah, considering what Anthony did.
He did very right by me. So I got.
So would you go to his place? Like, you go to his house?
Oh, yeah.
What's
that, pretty nice?
He'll talk about this. He had a couple places. One that he has since sold, but that thing was crazy.
Dang, I'm so jealous.
But I don't think he ever lived in that house.
Which is insane.
Oh, I have so many houses, I can't live in one. I think his life changed a little bit after he bought the house, so he decided not to move in.
Dang, that's the goal.
Yeah.
To have houses you don't even go to.
Did you sign an NDA to work as Ellis's assistant?
I don't know if I signed anything. I just started working for him, which was the best thing that ever happened to me.
So, but he has a place in New Mexico too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go there?
I haven't. Although he has offered it. He said, hey, if you ever end up in New Mexico, you can stay there.
So you're with Elvis and you're now as the video guy. Did you have video skills before then?
Or no,
did you,
I just kind of started.
Hey, listen, raise your hand and go, I'll do it and then figure it out. I agree completely. So you're a video guy. When do you two meet?
when I got hired, I would say it was 2010. So I had interned prior at the station doing different things.
And for Z100.
For Z100 New York, yeah. And then in the digital department, when we didn't have a digital department, like I was the intern doing all the photos. Like I took pictures of the Jay-Z interviews.
Didn't he like yell at you or something?
Yeah, as an intern. Because we didn't have what we have now. We don't have a hub. We didn't have a hub like we do, which is crazy. So that got me in the door because I was the only person in the building with an SLR camera. So I was around all the time. And then I got hired to answer the phones for Elvis. And that's when Anthony and I actually met. But yeah, same thing, $10 an hour. I made 16 grand my first year in radio. And I lived with my parents to be able to do all of it. But commuting into New York City, I was spending like $500 a month to get to work.
How were you getting to work?
I would drive. But parking was like $360. Then the easy pass was like $170 a month. I couldn't like.
Parking, by the way, parking was $360
which
a
is
month.
Cheap.
Which, yeah, now right. people, this is what people don't understand how. Yeah. When people
don't now understand, it's $600 in that same lot.
For a spot that's like, what, 10 feet long, $600 a month in downtown Manhattan to park your car.
Unbelievable.
And yeah. student loans.
So, what do your parents, and I'll start with you, Carla Marie, what do your parents think about you deciding to get into a field with no real future, no stability, no money? Like, what in the world are they telling you?
My dad told me not to take the job. And my mom was like, that's so cool. Like, you've always wanted to do this since you were a kid. Do it. But he was like, $10 an hour. I just went through college to do what that you were making that waitressing. He was like, don't do it. And that sucked, you know, hearing that from your dad. Like, don't take this job opportunity that I saw as like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And I obviously didn't listen.
But. Anthony, you?
So my parents were supportive, but my dad always would throw these little comments like, hey, I've got a friend who works in pharmaceutical sales. You can make more money doing this.
Or you would have, though.
Oh, yeah, I would have been way more money. And I definitely thought about it at one point. So he would always, because he knew how little I made, because when I was taking the train from my parents' house to go to downtown Manhattan, I mean, there were times where I couldn't even pay for the train. So my dad would buy like that train ticket that day. I actually got arrested once because I couldn't pay the train ticket. And I got... It's a whole long story.
Did you jump and get on the train?
Basically.
Yeah.
And later on, I found out 6 years later, there was a warrant out for my arrest for a ticket that I didn't pay when I was supposed to pay for the ticket.
Nobody told me we had Billy the Kid in here.
I'm a train thief, a train robber. So they were supportive. They definitely didn't get it at first.
Yeah.
Especially my parents are both immigrants. They both, I don't think, understood the stability or lack thereof. But they were supportive. So I can't say they never told me not to do it. They probably wished I did something else, but they never told me not to.
My mom had no interest in me doing radio. Not that she knew any better, but we were broke our whole life. And then she was like, you're just going to go be broke again. And luckily I was a smart kid. And she was like, why would you waste this? Why don't you go be a doctor?
Is that what she wanted you to do, be a doctor?
Anything that I could use my God-given ability to read, comprehend, and communicate about. Because I was good at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I could study and know, and I nailed ACT. I mean, you gave it to me. I could spend time with it and get it, and then regurgitate it in a way that made me feel and sound smart. And she was like, why don't you do something with that?
It's true, though.
And I, absolutely. And I now could see if I had a kid that was doing that, I would be like, never, don't get anything creative. But once that creative thing is in you, you have to somehow fill that cup at least for a while, or you're always going to be left just craving that feeling of using your mind to make something.
Well, let me ask you this, Bobby. When, because we've talked about this in the podcast at times, Carla Marie and I, when did the radio bug bite for you? When did you realize this is exactly what I want to do and I don't know if I could do anything else?
Well, two parts. When I was 5 years old and I was in kindergarten, they asked me what I wanted to be and I said, I want to be on the radio.
Oh, wow.
And I want to be a stand-up comedian. That was it. And I was like,
yeah.
And so, but, and I don't ever remember not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. And when I was a girl, it was fifth grade, ninth grade, and I was like, how do you idiots not know what you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I want to be on the freaking radio. And whenever I was 11, 12, 13 years old, I would call the radio station every night and get on the air. They put me on the air. I was Bobby the Barbarian. I would introduce songs during the high five at nine. Every night, every weeknight I was on.
Who was the DJ that was on the air?
Well, a couple. Flying Brian was one of them.
Okay.
And he was the one mostly that would let me on. But when I was 12, they had a contest. You could write like an essay. And I won. And I got to go up. And Christmas Eve, I was 12, and I got to host the show with him.
So cool.
And I already knew. But it was then that I was like, okay, even if I'm broke forever, and I was 12, what do you know about being? I already knew I was broke. And yeah. I knew if even if I'm staying the same forever, mm-hmm. if I'm doing what I love to do, I win. If I can buy groceries and pay for a mortgage, even if it's not a big fancy one, I win because I'm doing what makes me happy. And in the end, we only pursue general happiness.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to get it just by doing that. Now, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know. Again, I was 12, right? but then, like, I knew and I finished, you know, I begged for a job at 17 and was playing Rick DCDs and all that. But, yeah, that was when the bug got me. But again, not about me. You two are...
I know, we have that stability to...
You two are both now... You're an intern, and you are what when you meet her?
When I met her, I was still Elvis's assistant. I hadn't done video stuff yet.
Yeah, and Anthony had really long hair.
I did, yeah, down to my shoulders.
I was scared of him.
So Carla Marie had no friends at the radio studio.
Zero.
And I, because I had my time at promotions, I had this network of friends. So we would go out to lunch all the time, and I started inviting Carla Marie out to lunch with us because she would just sit at her little phone op desk by herself after everyone left because we were probably the people that stayed the latest because of our responsibilities.
And we're around the same age, so yeah. And everyone, for the most part, was older. So Anthony would invite me places, but I also couldn't afford to go out to lunch in New York City, even if it was just the deli. So sometimes I'd have to be like, no, or I'll just come and get a soda. And I would start hanging out with Anthony and all of his friends at the station. But other than that, I would sit there by myself.
So how in the world did you guys decide to do something together professionally?
It was on...
It was 4 years in.
Was it? Yeah.
It was 4 years into knowing each other, so 2014.
You were an intern for 4 years?
No. No. I had been working there at that time.
Okay.
When Anthony was inviting me to lunch. He wouldn't invite an intern to lunch.
I think I did. I think I did.
Never.
Well, no, because one of my friends had a crush on Carla Marie.
Okay, well,
so I would start inviting Carla Marie out to lunch also to see if anything happened
this
there.
This is news to me, so yeah. Thanks. So in 2014, there were a bunch of people on the show. Everyone had their own thing, except really the two of us. Whether it was getting to do different appearances for the station or not necessarily podcasts, because no one really had podcasts at the point, but everyone had a different role in the show. And the two of us were like, man, like it's so hard to get on the air here because there's 16 people on this show. We're never going to grow if we can't do this. So Anthony was like, why don't we do a podcast?
Yeah. We were traveling to an event that we both had to go film at. Was it Windermere? Was the mountain?
Wyndham.
Windermere is the real estate company. Wyndham Mountain. And on the way back, we were listening to other podcasts. And we just said, why don't we do this? And we sat down, had a full meeting. Like we had meeting essentially.
To each other.
And said, all right, this is what our kind of schedule is going to look like. We'll do it on Fridays. We'll call it My Day Friday. We're not going to curse on the podcast because we want to pretend this is real radio. And we'll have topics and we'll email each other. And we did this whole thing and launched it on April 14th or 11th?
2014, yeah. And our hobbies at the time were going out, partying, drinking with our friends. Like, that was what we did. And now it's so funny. Like, when we still do our podcast, we're like, we used to talk about going out and partying and being hungover. And now it's like,
now Carla
Ray
complains about our cats.
My cats,
our whole,
my mortgage.
That's our whole
it's so bizarre. Thing.
So you guys are doing the podcast. When does that turn into someone or you guys knocking on a door and going, hey, knuckleheads, let us do this on the radio somewhere?
You know, it actually sooner than we thought in terms of the conversations that people had where they'd say, hey, there's this city. They don't know what they're doing next for their morning show. They might have an interest in you. And that happened a couple times, no real conversations. And then one day, it was right around Christmas in 2015, was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2015.
So like a year and a half into doing a podcast.
Yeah.
We didn't know what we were doing. And obviously everyone had Elvis's blessing before they would ever come to us. Like they had to go to Elvis first to make sure, hey, I'm going to reach out to Carla Marie and Anthony for this opportunity. Was that okay? But the first real opportunity was Seattle.
Yeah.
And we had a bunch of conversations, but couldn't talk about it because no one knew what was going on in Seattle. No one knew that these two strangers were going to fly out here and take over the station that didn't exist when we were having these conversations. And for the two of us, it was like, why not take this opportunity to actually do something?
So your first ever freaking show was in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In a big old market.
Yeah.
Huge.
You didn't
yeah.
cut your teeth in
nope.
Paducah or me, Hot Springs, Arkansas. You went from a podcast to hosting mornings in Seattle.
Yeah.
Now, a podcast in New York, no less.
Like, you know, a podcast anywhere is the same.
That's true.
You know what?
Okay. But we were like, it was kind of hard for us though. We'll sound like spoiled brats, but for me, to be like, I'm in market number one. Why am I going to go to a different market? Like that was granted, I was like number 12 on the show, But I was like, I'm in market number one. Why would I leave here? And I had to finally tell myself, you're never going to grow out of this role if you don't, don't try.
It's also, I mean, with Elvis, and I would put you in the same conversation. You guys, you've done so well for so long that there is, I don't know if I call it the bubble, but there are things that really successful shows get to do, that get to the local level, and newer shows like Carla Marie, that we don't get some of the same support. And I think that was the scariest thing for us, was knowing how much support Elvis got from the company and knowing that it was going to be different in Seattle. But it wasn't a national morning show, and we didn't deserve that yet.
No.
Right. So, which was my point. And yeah, not that you didn't deserve it, but Elvis, and I don't know a lot of his early hit, because he was on Z100 when I was maybe 10. I'm not sure. So I don't remember. But for me, there was a lot of the small local things when I got no support. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm glad that happened, because when I finally got the support, one, I was grateful, and two, I knew how to use it.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're going in, but again, Seattle, you're going to get a good amount of support. Yeah. That's just nuts. But you're right. You're leaving a station in New York, going to work, but that's such a big gig. So, to what station?
It was originally Cube 93. They had flipped it. The day we got there, they flipped it to Power 93.3. So it was going to be this new top 40 pop station. They pivoted a couple other stations in Seattle to maneuver everything. And we were the first voices ever on that brand new station, which that was one of the coolest things for us. Mm-hmm. Regardless of anything else going on, moving from our friends and family, being able to launch a brand new station, not just a brand new show, was so cool. And that's an experience that, like, we'll never get again, probably.
Well, no.
Hopefully not.
Looking back, I often have, it's a mix of imposter syndrome, but also a dose of reality of, I don't think we deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't. Especially now, more than ever, after everything we've been through in 4.5 years, we had no business hosting our morning
show. I had
show.
No business getting my morning. I just said the same thing to you guys, right? Yeah. That feeling happens with almost everybody. Because I just said this out loud. I didn't deserve that job. Just like you felt like you didn't deserve that job. But you say, you raise your hand and say, yep, I love it. You go take it. You guys crap in your pants first day?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I remember laying on the floor after the first show was over, just being physically exhausted because I was so nervous the whole time.
I've listened back to the audio before. I don't know where it is now, but I can hear that my throat is closed because I was so nervous.
You sound like one of those throat singers on Nat Geo.
So why, I'm going to go to the bones of it all though, but why Carla Marie and Anthony in that order? Because it had to be a conversation.
It was. It was. And actually, I hated that, not because I wanted my name first, although it would have been nice, but I hated that it was Carla Marie and Anthony, and the A-N-A-N sounds back to back. I didn't like that. But
the podcast was My Day Friday with Anthony and Carla Marie.
Yeah.
The logo and everything, because Anthony's friend made our logo. So his name went first, and we just went with it. But when we were having the conversations about our show, they brought it up to us. And they were like, well, we would just call it we think we want to call it the Carla Marie and Anthony Show. Is that okay? And I was like, yes.
Did you raise your hand at all and go, hey, what about Anthony and Carla Marie?
I did a little bit. And here's where I do, and we give each other a lot of crap all the time.
Yeah.
But I will say this. No one would have looked at me in the light they did had it not been for Carla Marie letting me kind of ride her coattails for a little bit. Now, we're a great team together.
They were short coattails.
Huh?
They were very short coattails.
Short coattails, but still coattails nonetheless. And yes, we work together really well. We have kind of this divide and conquer mentality that we do. She's good at certain things. I'm good at certain things. But Carla Marie was kind of the star, the rising star of Elvis' show for a while. And I was the assistant / video producer. And I got the attention that I got because we teamed up. So I never really had an actual problem with putting her name first, because I knew that I only had that opportunity. And people, I mean, the only reason someone looked at my reel or my tape, if you will, is because they were looking at Carla Marie's first. And they happened to see some stuff that I did and said, hey, why don't you send me a video too? So, I mean, we could give each other crap a lot, but at the end of the day, I know that I owed a lot of my opportunity to Carla Marie, so it wasn't really a big deal for me to say, you know what, put your name first. You're the star of the show.
Well, now Anthony said, whatever we do next.
Well, it also Anthony failed. Yeah, the Carla Marie Anthony
flip
show.
You're 1-1 now. Now you got to flip a coin.
Well, the Carla Marie Anthony show failed, so I don't know.
Whatever. You can go
so the next one will be Carla Marie and Friends.
Yeah.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. So before you got this job in Seattle, go back one step. Were there jobs that you were up for but didn't get?
I know there was one job in Philly for me that there were pretty serious
conversations. Who got it over you?
They ended up they just didn't do it. Mm. It was going to be this new role that they were going to build. It was going to be actually...
Well, it kind of exists now.
With Steven? Yeah. Smiling Steven? Yeah.
At Q102 in Philly, it would be the board op for Elvis's show, but you would also pop in on the air occasionally.
It would have been, if you're familiar with Elvis's show, kind of what Froggy does for South Florida. I would have been doing that kind of for Philadelphia.
And that didn't work out.
Yeah, I just didn't do it.
Thankfully.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was there anything that you two together were up for when you said these conversations were happening?
No, I mean, there afterwards, we kind of found out that there were conversations about us happening that we weren't a part of.
Always the case.
Yeah. There was a conversation for me in DC. I didn't know anything about it, like well before the idea of us hosting a show together in Seattle. And then I think there was a conversation about the two of us for Atlanta.
Yeah, that was a serious conversation they're having. I also forgot, I almost moved to Denver.
Oh, yeah.
I completely skipped over that. That was 3 months of just me being like mental.
Did they offer you something there?
They did. It was going to be an executive producer role on the air as well, but
for?
They didn't. It would have been for
the
Party.
JJ.
Yeah, JJ was a local host on Z100. He's now in Atlanta, but he was in Denver for a little bit, and I was going to move with him.
JJ.
Kincaid.
Okay.
And I would have gone out with him. It would have been another top 40 pop radio show. And there was like no money in it. I basically would have been making the same or less. And I still wasn't making a lot on Elvis's show. And that's when things started picking up. There were some clients and things that worked with Carla Marie and I. We were being given more opportunities. So I said, you know what? That's a full-time role and it's a step in the right direction, but I'm going to ride it out and see where this thing with Elvis and Carla Marie goes.
You get to Seattle, you're on Cube, K-U-B-E, and it's going fine, but you guys get popped there, right?
Seattle was crazy.
Yeah, so about 2 years into us being on Power, top 40 station, they decided to make other changes in Seattle. Take the KISS station that you Bobby would have gone to work for, and bring that back to top 40. So change Power, take Kiss, make it top 40 again, make Power Cube again. So make it hip-hop,
yeah.
So at that point, they're like, all right, you guys, you're young, you're great, you can host this morning show for a hip-hop station. I don't listen to hip-hop. And I was like, no, I can't do this. But they're like, no, but like, this is your job now. You have to do it. And I was like, what?
And they gave us, I think, a day and a half, basically, of warning.
So I was like, all right. And I like made a playlist on the iHeartRadio app of like every song that we were going to play. And I started listening to it. And I was like, man, I really love Taylor Swift and Ariana Grande. Like, this is not my jam. But we did it. But we did it for 3 days.
That's it?
Yeah.
And then they took us off.
Why? What did they tell you?
It just didn't sound right.
Well, no crap. You told them. You felt that.
Yeah. And now afterwards, they were like, yeah, you were right.
Well, we actually told them, yeah, going into it, we said, we don't know if this is the right decision.
We tried.
Right? We're going to, if you give us any job, we are going to work our butts off and put every ounce of energy into it. And they kind of calmed us down. They played some imaging. We said, all right, let's do this thing. And then, yeah, three business days later, we got called into a off-site lunch.
I was like, oh, no.
They said, hey, why don't you meet us at this restaurant? And we got there and we were like, this is not good.
They fired you at a restaurant?
Well, we weren't actually fired.
So, yeah, this is where they didn't actually fire us. They said, we're taking you off the air. We are not firing you. We're just going to figure something out eventually.
So you continue to get paid.
Yeah. And then within a week, they knew that they'd put us on as a night show on the Kiss station.
You're almost job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, years and years ago. So you go and do nights at Kiss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who was doing mornings?
Bender and Molly.
Bender seems to have been on forever there.
Yeah.
17 years, I think. Yeah.
It seems like he may have been the show on whenever I was.
He probably was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. They're on. And then, were they married?
No.
So his previous co-host, it was Bender and Jackie originally. They were married.
Okay, that's why I think that.
Yeah,
okay.
They got divorced. And then Molly, who was on The Bachelor.
Molly and Jason Mesnick. That's like the infamous season where he picked someone else and then picked Molly. Like that was the first time that happened, like 11 or 14 years ago at this point. But Molly, during The Bachelor, got to be on that radio station because Jason was from Seattle. And then years later, became co-host there. She's a sweetheart.
Did her and Bender get married too?
No. She's still with Jason.
Okay. Oh, they're still together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look
they're
at
like
that.
They're like one of the success stories.
I just automatically assumed they've been on The Bachelor. It didn't work out. So, wow. By the way, being married to your co-host, oof, that would be tough.
Well, I think getting divorced from your co-host is probably tougher. Way tougher.
Well, I mean, just staying married, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah.
Wow. And did they stay on there after their divorce? Do you know?
For a little bit, from what I know. I don't know the full story. I know
can
that
you imagine?
I know that it happened basically on the radio. And that's not private. That's public information. It happened on the radio.
What did?
Their divorce happened on the radio.
Not like serving divorce papers.
No.
They went through the process.
They decided on the air.
Coming up at 7:30.
Coming up
at,
we're not from a big personal announcement.
You put it past radio. I would not. No, I think a lot of the drama played out on the air from it.
So they're done. Did they fire them, that show, or did they, what's that? I don't know.
They let Bender go, and they moved Molly to a different, for us, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For us, yeah.
They let Bender go. He's back with the company somewhere else, but they let him go and kept Molly, kept the producer on that show, and brought us in to do the morning show and have this audition process that was going to take place to find more people to join our show.
Where's Molly now?
She
got let go the same day we did.
Oh,
she was hosting after, she was hosting.
But that's what happened. She went and did her own like midday show or afternoon show. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you're on, you're looking for co-hosts. And I think this is where British Willie comes on.
English Evan.
Oh, yeah.
English Evan. And then Alabama ends up coming on too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you four. How long were you four together as a unit?
14 months.
Was it four? Yeah.
Yeah.
14 months.
So it's just about enough time to start to feel like, okay, we're starting to get a little traction.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Well, right. it was also kind of crazy because our ride was not smooth by any means. And it wasn't anyone's fault. Like Alabama had a stroke 3 months after starting
together.
With us, 4 months after starting
with
us.
On the air. It was just insane.
It was 6:40 in the morning and she had a stroke.
Coming up right after the break.
No, but now I look, there's like so much where we can easily say, oh, that sucks that this happened. It sucked that that happened. But there's so many things like if our show never went through all the things that it went through. And to the point where, okay, and then Alabama and Evan joined, who knows where in the world she would have been when she had that stroke. But because she was around people, she's alive. And so many different things happened, you know, to Seattle and all the changes, our paths cross. And it's like, there's little things like that that I hold on to where like, okay, we were supposed to be in her life for that moment because she could have been alone in a radio studio and that could have happened. And it's little things like that where I'm like, yeah, as much as life sucks at the moment or as we're going through this, it's like little things happened for a reason.
And then, yeah, we did start, you know, hitting our stride and things were going well. And then, you know, the plug was pulled a little bit.
Before we get to the plug, how are your parents still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's okay, good. Because the worst is when you're like, hey, what's your dad? And he's like, yeah, my dad died in a fire 3 years ago. And I'm like, son of a...
No, thankfully, they're both good. Alive and well.
That happened with Weird Al.
Really?
Way back in the day, I had Weird Al on, and I love him. And so I felt like, I don't need to look anything up. I love Weird Al. Oh. Why would I look anything up? I know everything by heart. I know all the songs by heart. I was a kid. I used to remember. And I was like, what would your parents think about you deciding? And he goes, yeah, I think his mom died in a fire or something.
Jeez.
Oh yeah. It's what really one of mine where I felt
how
like
do you how do you recover from that? You just go,
You don't really, but you just keep going.
Okay.
You just hop back in. Never address it.
No.
Because I've been with artists too, and I'm like, hey, so I know they have kids. I'm like, your kids? And they're like, well, I don't talk about my kids. And you can go, oh. Or you can go, so this other.
Yeah.
And just keep on moving.
You're not going to
pound it. Yeah. So we went through that. And it was awkward. Your parents are alive.
Yes.
What at this point, you're in Seattle, you're on now in the mornings and Kiss. Are they now like, you guys did the right thing?
Oh yeah. Yes.
They're super proud.
My mom was telling all of her friends that I had my own radio station in Seattle. She didn't know. She's like, everybody owns this radio station in Seattle. I'm like, mom, I don't own a radio station in Seattle. But it was just like this, the most bragging moment ever. I would hear from them. I'd come home to New Jersey and I'd bump into their friends. I'm like, oh, your father told me this. And it's like, you hear from their friends about your own life. And it's, and then at that point, they were like, yeah, you know, it's kind of cool that you did that.
And I think for me, I remember I've posted about this before. When we used to drive to church in the morning, American Top 40 was on the radio and that was hosted by Casey Kasem, who's also Lebanese. And my dad's from Lebanon, emigrated here during the Civil War. And I remember their Civil War, not ours.
Say, he's been there since 1856.
He's really old. And I remember it was like clockwork. Every Sunday, Casey Kasem would come on as we're on our way to church. And my dad would always point out, you know, this guy's Lebanese. You could do anything. If he can do it, why
keep
can't you do it?
Feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah. And and I remember getting my job. And he never like made that connection once I got my job. But it was cool being a minority and knowing that someone else will look up to you and do that. And I think we've gotten messages like that. My kids love listening to you because they've never heard another Lebanese person on the radio or on TV. And I know my parents were proud of that too.
So everything's rocking. Did you start to feel like, did you feel the Jaws music coming on?
I did.
You did?
And I thought it would have been COVID related. I kept telling my mom, mom, we're getting fired. I know.
Why did you think that?
I don't know. I had this feeling because I was watching everyone around me lose their jobs. And I also started thinking I could see us getting furloughed until people start driving to work again. You know, we're not syndicated where, you know, every city has their different rules right now. Seattle was shut down.
Oh, yeah. It was a ghost town for 3 months.
Still is. Like, it's shut down. So I was like, it's going to happen. My mom's like, stop putting it out there. I'm like, no, I feel it. I just feel it. And we knew there were changes happening at other radio stations that were not our company. So we knew that there were people who were also available. So
you're talking about Jubal across the street. Yeah. And what station was he on?
Moving.
No, he had been fired.
Mm-hmm.
He had been fired. Okay. Everything's so confusing right now. Yep. Okay, but he's off air.
Yeah.
He's not anyway. No. He got cut. Okay, so you guys, you feel it coming because of, like you say, everything around.
I hung up something on my wall in my house, and it was the last thing I had to hang up, finally, after decorating. And I said to Anthony, I said, I just hung up the last thing on my wall. We're going to get fired. And 7 days later, we got let go.
And how does that call happen or meeting?
Meeting.
Yeah, it was us to come back to the studio.
Same restaurant.
Meet us over here at Pluckers.
Once they told us to come into the building, although we had been coming in, no one else was in the building because of the pandemic. So we're like, oh, well, we took a duffel bag and boxes to the studio.
Oh, really?
We knew it. Knew it.
So how do they tell you? And are you both in there at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Same time. And they just said, hey, we're making a change.
Who's the who has to tell you?
Two of our managers, like two executive level people.
RSVP and...
Do I know them? Who are they?
Probably not.
I don't think you would know them personally.
You're not saying their name. Who are they?
Oh, Rich Moore and Robert Dove.
Don't know them. All right, continue on.
No. Which sucks, I will say, because they were like dads to us.
Yeah. I bet it sucked for them to have to do it.
I agree more than it sucked for us to hear it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say more, but I would say it's fair. Go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, like Robert, I used to live in the same apartment building as Anthony, but Robert also lived in that apartment building. So like,
he lived down the hall from me for like 3 years.
So, and it's great when you have these relationships with your management, but when that moment comes, it's like, you're almost like, how are you telling me this? Why couldn't you tell someone else to tell me?
So they tell you, you walk out of the room. What's the conversation you guys have as you're walking down the hall?
Well, we got to clean out our own office. So,
well, there was no one else to clean it. So it was just us.
So we were, I was crying, cleaning out the office. Anthony, you hadn't cried yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So
I don't, when I get upset, I oftentimes don't talk at all. I'll just sit there. So like the whole meeting that they were, when they were telling us what was going on, Carla Marie had questions. I think I may have said 12 words.
Maybe.
I don't even know what they were.
But yeah, we clear out the office, get all the stuff down to the car. And as we were doing like the final walk out of the elevator, I looked at Anthony and I said, we needed this. And he's like, I think you're right. And it just felt like looking back. Yeah, you like you said, Bobby, yeah, things were finally picking up. But were they really numbers wise? Probably not. And I think that we had just been through so much in Seattle and we were trying to make something work that I don't think was going to work. And that's why this happened. It's not because we did anything wrong. We were told we didn't do anything wrong. We tried the hardest, but it just didn't work a few times.
What would you do? Let's just say, hypothetically, mm-hmm. Gotham City call, not New York. I'm trying to think of a fictional city because I don't know anyone right. anywhere, but Gotham City
Metropolis.
Call. Yeah. And they go, hey, we want you guys to come do a show. What kind of show do you guys want to do? It's a pop station. What would you do that's a bit different on this show than the last show? Because I think that will be a question that you will get
for
asked.
For sure. I do think that right away we would need to have a team in place. Like, none of this come along as we audition several people and you don't get to hear the people that you did fall in love with along the way. Like, granted, we loved our team in the end. Yeah. But there were other people who auditioned for that job that listeners fell in love with who didn't get the role. And then you're a listener and you're like, but I wanted that person. They didn't pick them. I think being introduced to a new city as a full show is huge. And yeah, the two of us were great together, but we do even better when we're surrounded by more people. Mm-hmm. And I know, Bobby, you could probably say the same thing. Like, yeah, you're great on your own, but when you've got Amy and everyone else in the room, it's way more fun. And we both know that about ourselves. Like, we have more fun when other people are around. And I think having a full team that we both truly believe in with our manager, maybe, but starting from that day one, all of us, everything in place, instead of, hey, move out to Seattle. Oh, then do this. Then pick your producer. Like, we were just picking up pieces and trying to do the job without everything in place.
I would say, and it's kind of piggybacking off of that. And this might be like for people who don't know radio and the way that the hierarchy works. We had so many managers in that 4.5 years that we were there. We had so many different plans. We had so many different things. And a lot of those plans were good. But when you have 12 good plans, it makes zero good plans.
I would compare it to a quarterback having offensive coordinators coming in every year. Like,
exactly,
you can be a good quarterback,
that.
But you can't actually learn the full system unless you have time to spend knowing their vision and how it intersects with your vision.
Yeah, and I think just consistency is the only thing I would have asked for. And that's hard to ask, especially in our world. But that would have been the only thing that I would have changed, just a little bit more consistency.
Right now, is anyone going, hey, we may have something for you guys soon?
No.
Not yet?
We've had some people reach out just to have kind of
conversations.
It's also because there's no money being spent, right? So I'm not even saying that as about you guys, but I'm saying that about just you guys plus the dynamic of nobody spending any money anyway.
None.
And we're also having conversations with between the two of us with some friends and saying, what do we want to do before someone offers us something? What do we want to do? Do we want to grow something on our own? I mean, we started this Twitch channel, which isn't huge yet, but it's a lot of fun. And it's kind of like what we wanted to do on morning radio with a live audience that can interact through a chat room. So what do we want to do moving forward? Do we want to go the traditional mainstream radio model? Do we want to try something different?
Carla Marie, your Side Hustlers podcast, even though, I mean, that was an iHeartRadio, are you still doing it?
At the moment, I am not.
Because they don't want you to?
I'm not really sure.
But they're not letting you?
Yeah.
Really? Interesting. But you can, if you end up getting back with the company, it's sitting there to be
continued. It's waiting, yeah.
I just can't see a world, and I'm just speaking candidly, that someone eventually, once in a few months, doesn't go, hey, you too, let's go.
Yeah.
And I don't say that as I wouldn't fluff your butts if I didn't think.
Thank you.
I just wouldn't say it at all. I would just be like, oh, look at you guys. All right, 12 past the hour here, 74 degrees.
Divorce and stroke on the way. We'll talk about it soon.
And it's tough to sit and just wait.
Sorry to cut you off. It's also, I think, a welcomed relief. And I know you, because you're someone who works a lot, right? Imagine if someone, and you'd probably hated it first, but if someone said, you have to sit still.
Well, that's what the pandemic did to me.
For a month.
But again, I got to keep working.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah. It shut me down from the road, shut me down from lots of things.
And I think there are times where you don't taking care of yourself or the people around you or the things that you care about. And I think we've been able to kind of back up and say, you know what? Let me actually get some sleep, maybe more than 4 hours a night. So there are benefits. It sucks at first when you're just sitting, especially when you're used to going at 100 miles an hour. But I think it's also a welcomed, both mentally and physically and emotionally.
That's great.
I don't want it to last forever. That's great
to hear. I just know how neurotic I am.
It's tough.
And I would be like, okay, it's 6 p.m. Nobody's called me. They must hate me. I may probably never work in radio again. Okay, it's 7 p.m.
I mean, yeah, God,
that definitely
nobody.
Happens.
But I'm just saying as truly as I possibly can, I just can't see a world where somebody doesn't come at you guys and go, hey, look, you guys are proven. Mm-hmm. You're both wonderful personalities, hard workers. Let's go. And sometimes it's hard to see the forest from the trees when you're in the middle of the trees. And right now you guys are in the middle of that tree section.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're really like, man, what's happening? But I'm glad to hear that's your perspective right now. And now, so you're not doing side hustles right now?
No.
Okay. Are you guys doing any podcasts at all?
So you can catch our Twitch stream. That's where we're doing everything.
No My Day Friday either? Wow.
For right now. We're still figuring everything out.
Oh, I'll be so pissed.
Not thrilled.
Wow.
No, and it's, you know what? It's also us figuring out exactly what path we're going to take. So there's a lot of things in motion at the moment.
Listen, I think you guys are great. You're driving all around. People can watch your Twitch channel. Let me see if I remember here. It's twitch.tv/CarlaMarieAnthony.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then on Instagram.
Carla Marie and Anthony. We each have accounts too. I have @WorstAnthony. It's @WorstAnthony on everything. Instagram, Twitter.
I'm the Carla Marie.
On everything?
Mm-hmm.
And what about you two? Because did you do Everdate?
No. Well, when we met, did I still have a girlfriend? I think I still had a girlfriend when we met. I was friends with Carla Marie's boyfriend for a long time. Yeah. And it's funny, even as Carla Marie had a boyfriend, people thought we were dating. Even though she would be posting with him all the time.
Well, Amy and I had that for 10 years of our career.
I feel like you guys still get it sometimes.
Now, I think it's a little more clear now.
It's a little, but we got that. But the difference is, like, you two, I don't ever see a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And haven't.
Well, I normally make it a point not to post about relationship stuff. And I haven't had a long-term girlfriend for the last 4.5. But one of the things, and I don't know if you've ever dealt with this, Bobby, but as a guy in our world, it's very hard to be open about a relationship and not be made out to be the bad guy.
Well, mostly because we're the bad guy when we're open about it. We suck. I mean, that's what it is.
True. But
I also try to protect the people who I am, who I do care about. Because there's, you know, in this world where everyone's a keyboard bully or a keyboard hero, there's a lot of times where you post things and comments that come through aren't necessarily the kindest. So I try to protect people. That's why I don't even really post about my family that often.
Yeah. I mean, Caitlin struggles with that. People are so mean to her.
They're just like, why?
They are so mean to her.
I don't get it. I love her. I love her and I've never met her.
And she's like, I don't want to be in the public light.
Yeah.
I post like once every month on Instagram, but they're just so to the point where she has to.
She limits comments now, doesn't she?
She just limits herself to even looking at it. She's like, I hate that. What did I do? And then I feel bad because I'm like.
She didn't sign up for that. And I feel the same way
She kind of did in that she knew what she was
a
little bit getting into, but it's so much more brutal than even I thought. Here's the thing about girls. They're meaner than guys are.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Her comments from girls talking terrible about her body, about why she's with me. It's everything.
They're horrendous.
To the point where she has not good days because of it. And listen, who, and you can say, well, just get off social media, because that's what I would say to her. Just get off of it. But then who, I love it.
Yeah.
Why should she have to suffer? And I say that word meaning it, suffer from not, because she loves to be on TikTok and look at TikTok. She doesn't do very much on there, but she looks at, she loves Instagram. I do too. And now because there are a couple dicks, she can't get online.
And it's like, why should she have to stop doing something that she enjoys because there are people who don't know how to use that platform like a normal human? Because no one, not not many people would probably say the things they say on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter to her face.
Right.
Yeah. Ever. They could be sitting next to her in the movie theater for two straight hours. They would never turn to her and say, yada, yada, yada. But because we're all living behind these keyboards, it becomes so easy and you don't realize there's an actual person attached to that picture. And she shouldn't have to change her normal behavior because there are people who can't respect boundaries.
They're insecure. Everything that she's gorgeous, obviously. Everything I've heard from you, everything I've seen, she's an amazing person. And granted, that's what I get from social media. How is someone getting anything different than that?
And it's because they're assigning it with their own mind.
Yep. And they're insecure.
And they're jealous.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, all that being said, you guys have never dated.
No.
Why don't you just go ahead and do it and then be Bender and Jamie?
Well, that didn't end well either. So, although it had the same ending that our radio show did, so I guess it could have happened. No, I don't know.
But do you think that you will not develop as adults and your roles change and you're not just two single adults as you get? How old are you, Anthony?
35.
It's time, bro.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's not time to get married. I'm 40. Yeah. I'm not married. And you and I have had this conversation away. We kind of had this. But at some point, you have to go, man, I can't let my job completely affect my life.
Yeah. No, we have had that conversation. We had that conversation almost a year ago. And I did take that to heart. And I tried to make sure that I was giving myself time to be a real person rather than just a person who works on the radio. And I think Carla Marie can probably back me up here. I did a better job, not a great job, but I did a better job of trying to carve out some personal time. No?
Nah.
I thought I did. I made the effort at least. I don't know.
Maybe. For me personally, it was after we got let go. I had a moment of, I just missed out on so much of my life for what? I put so much time and effort into this career. I said no to family things, things with my friends, things with, you know, my own alone time for this career. For what? To lose it all. And I've since circled back on that. And I know how many lives I've touched and how many people I've met because of this career. And I take that sentiment back a little bit. But I've made a vow to myself that this, whatever this next career part of my life is, isn't going to get the same person that this last part got. I'll still do my job and be great at it. But I'm not going to go above and beyond a career that I tend to retire from one day and hopefully have a family to the rest of my years with. And if I put it all into that career, I'm not going to have that family when I retire.
Well, and in the counterintuitive way of what you're going to take away from your career to form a family, that family and those stories are actually going to be better for your for your radio job and career.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Because we did have this conversation about a year ago about finding time for your personal life and things like that. And I'm pretty sure after that is when you met Caitlin, right?
We were probably together like September
of
last year. I met Caitlin in November.
So then do you think it was just you were living your life normally and that happened? Or did you make a change to open yourself up?
I completely made a change.
Wow. What did you do?
Didn't rush to judge.
Okay.
Didn't sabotage immediately.
I'm guilty of that as well.
Didn't do a lot of things that I didn't really do anything differently, like outwardly. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't do was a lot of the things that I was doing that made the relationship really bad. I also.
So it's like addition by subtraction almost.
Absolutely. First and foremost, I met the right girl. But then I just didn't do all the dumb things that I had done before. And I've met no one, I've been with anyone that's been anywhere close to Caitlin. So number one was meeting the right girl. But I definitely see how I could have just sabotaged myself and kicked myself in the nuts and been like, it's not going to work. She lived long distance.
Yeah.
But it was great. And we're great now. It's fantastic.
It looks like it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, and you know, everything on Instagram is real. So.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I know you said I love you. I'm so excited.
I did, yeah.
I missed that.
He didn't say it on Instagram, but if he had said it to Caitlin, okay. I was like, yes!
Yeah. First time ever to anybody. To anybody.
How do you feel?
Great. Because I do.
Were you nervous before you said the words?
It wasn't nervous. It was like my tongue was in my mouth.
It was like a little bit.
Did you practice in the mirror first?
No. I couldn't. I couldn't. The only thing I've ever said it to is my dog. Ever. My last dog.
Okay. That's, not even this dog?
Now this dog. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But mostly it's like, I love you, but you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, in conclusion, I'd like to do a little exercise here. Because, okay. I thought we'd do 20, 30 minutes. I would like for you, Anthony, first. I need you to say three positive words about yourself because I feel like we need this right now. Go ahead.
I have to go first?
You have to go first. Three positive words about yourself.
Think about mine.
You couldn't have picked a worse person for this. I just started with a negative.
Worst?
Three positive words about yourself.
Three positive words. Faithful, dedicated. Is loyal the same thing as faithful?
You can say your three. Do you know what's crazy is if I were to say, Anthony, say three nice words about Carla Marie, you don't have to. You'd be able to go bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
But when it comes to having to say things about ourselves in a positive light, it hurts and it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Yeah. It should almost flow out of you. Carla Marie, three positive words about yourself.
Supportive, caring, and I also have to throw loyal in there. It's the first one I thought about myself, but yeah.
All right, you too.
She was way better.
I had time.
Well, she had time. Yeah. You got it just thrown on you.
Yeah.
First of all, good luck. Second of all, you don't really need it.
Thank you.
You know, my football coach would always say tough times don't last, but tough people do, and tough talent people really do. And in the end, I think you'll learn and grow more from this than you would have.
Oh, yeah.
Had it just continued as was. And I think now you see that.
Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for this. And it's such a crazy thing to say, but I am.
So, love you guys. You know that.
Love you.
Mike, anything you'd like to say to these two?
I also love you guys.
Yeah,
we love
see?
Mike D.
Look at that.
Mike's one of my favorite people. No offense to you, Bobby.
Yeah. You probably spent more time with Mike.
Yeah,
exactly.
We spent more time with you.
I will say this. I have this rotation of shows that I listen to. Normally, they're iHeartRadio shows. And other than Elvis, who's like my actual family, basically, I listen to you guys all the time, and it's because I love what you guys do. I love what you've been able to build. And one day, Carla Marie and I can build something that is even a quarter of the success that you've done. And what you guys do is amazing and encouraging.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's kind. One of the nicest things, because I was in Austin a few years ago for iHeart Country Festival.
Yeah.
And we had got off stage. And I still remember this. We played. And we got off stage, and I got – and listen, in my heart, I'm just a radio guy. And I get a lot of crap from other radio people that don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And he sucks. He shouldn't be where he is today because he's not good. How's it? It's nonstop, right?
Yep.
Nonstop.
Jealousy.
However, and I – like outwardly you know that, but still when it's hitting you, you're like, what's happening here? Like all I am is a kid who had no connections at all, worked at a tiny station, and has every ladder step. Just – over and over and over again. And to have people being hateful because of success, you're like,
it's bizarre.
You're like, why are?
It's so weird.
However, on the flip side of that, I remember getting off stage, and I'm not a musician. I'm an entertainer, but I'm not a musician. But we get up and we play. We have a pretty funny band, whatever. And Carla Marie sent me a text that was like, hey, to see a radio person get up and do that, that was freaking awesome and inspiring. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
That you would just send that text, not because of what I did. I do stupid stuff. But because you sent that text and said it that way, that was awesome.
It's true. And it makes people like us in the role that we're in think you can be more than this. You can be more than what you're doing. And you can have other dreams. I mean, anyone, really anyone, not just anyone at radio, you can have other dreams than what you're currently doing. And to see you guys get up there, I mean, I lose my mind every time I see you guys perform live because it's just the coolest thing. I full blown like... fangirl. And that doesn't happen. I mean, it's like Fall Out Boy.
She does. It's kind of
Harry,
weird.
Harry Styles and me.
It's real weird.
But it's...
I love it.
Like, I am nothing but a radio guy who said, well, let me use my platform to do a little bit of local TV. A little bit of writing for a local newspaper. Okay. Let me go and fly to California and try for anything. And spend all my own money back and forth, just to meet people, just to beg. And then but then when it all happens and all of a sudden you're an overnight success and you don't deserve it, you're just like, why are people in our industry, that's my frustration. Because I want to be someone they can look at and go, dang, look at him. Look at the work he's put in, made to do that.
Well, I'll say
we
this.
We look at you like that. I'll say that.
And I think you need to be, just like you were telling us, it's better to be kind to yourself. I think you, yes, you are a radio person at heart, but you're a radio person who has not been afraid, or at least you've taken the chance to do different things. And every time, it's not easy to do different things. It's not easy to say, I'm going to go do stand-up comedy, or I'm going to go see if American Idol wants to have me on, whatever. Like, I'm going to go Dancing with the Stars. You've been the person who takes
chances.
Naturally
gifted at that.
Yeah.
We could
tell.
Okay, I could tell.
We got to wrap it up. Yeah, follow them on social media. Check out their Twitch channel and their show. And hopefully, we'll do an update on this whenever you guys have a job again.
Deal.
Yes.
And you're rocking.
Thank you.
All right. Good to talk to you guys.
Me too.
I definitely didn't expect this to be an hour-long interview into the entire Carla Marie Anthony story, but I'm glad it was. I really enjoyed this, and I hope you guys did too. Yeah. We don't spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about radio, but hopefully you found this interesting. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. On right now with Damon Whiteside, the president of the Academy of Country Music, the ACMs. Damon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bobby. How are you?
Hey, real good. Excited to talk to you because, you know, the awards are coming up. However, before I talk about what's happening in a week or so, right? It's a week. Yeah, it's about a week, huh?
It's 1 week from today, but who's counting?
Right. Okay, so before then, this thing, this ACM award show was supposedly going off, what, 7 months ago, 8 months ago? And it, because of COVID, never happened.
Right. It was going to be April 5th, and then it was canceled, and we ended up moving it here to Nashville.
And there was a lot that happened in between that, right? Like, I mean, you had to think, first of all, are we going to cancel it? Can't have it in Vegas. Do we have it in Nashville, you know, late April? Was there a lot of that before it was finally shut down?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely months of researching and having conversations. And honestly, it was very difficult to find a venue to house it because so many tours had been and shows had been canceled and moved to the summer. At that time, we all kind of thought this COVID thing was going to be temporary. And everything would be back to normal in the summer. So it was really hard to find venues, and we literally scoured the country. But we ultimately wanted to be in Nashville just because we, you know, it's the home of country music, but also we wanted to be make it safe for our artists so that they can just be at home and drive down and not have to travel. And, you know, so many in our industry have been hit really hard by this and out of work. And so we didn't want to require the industry to have to travel, so we just basically decided to put it in their backyard.
It's happening Wednesday, September 16th, and it's hosted by Keith Urban. My question about Keith is, did you know Keith wouldn't be nominated for Entertainer of the Year when he was picked to host and be like that guy?
No, we did not know at that time when we discussed with him about him hosting, but he's our reigning entertainer of the year right now, and he actually jokes that he's the longest running reigning entertainer since our show's been moved back to September. So it's great to have him in the show.
You're doing it from three different spots. All are super important, not just to me personally, because I've played all of them, but just to country music and the history of country music. So talk about those three spots where the show will be broadcast from.
Oh my gosh. It's like a dream come true to have this show happening in the three most famous country music venues in the world. But yes, it'll be live from the Grand Ole Opry and the Bluebird Cafe. And we're going to have moments also from the Ryman Auditorium. So it's really absolutely, you know, just going to be magical and such a homage to country music and just, you know, all the legends that have been before us.
The Bluebird's interesting because, you know, again, having performed there myself, it's so small. People are right on top of you when you do play because it's so small, but it's definitely a songwriter's room. And what you guys have done is you've put people in that situation to kind of play to that scenario, right? Isn't Miranda doing something with the songwriters who wrote Bluebird?
She is, yeah. Miranda's performing with Natalie Hemby and Luke Dick, who wrote Bluebird with her. So that's going to be a really cool setup. And I think something, we haven't seen her perform that song yet with the songwriters. So that's going to be kind of a neat way to present that.
Do you know who's won the awards already?
I do not know who's won. A lot of people have asked me that, but no, they are still under lock and key with Deloitte. Who's our accounting firm that holds all that securely, and they will be on site the night, live on site at the Opry House and handing envelopes to the presenters that night to see who's going to win. So yeah, it's still a big mystery.
Explain to me how that works, Damon, because you pay a firm to do what? count votes from people and then keep it secret?
Yes. It's just to ensure the integrity of the award. So they manage our voting process, and they are the ones that hold all of that information, and they analyze it to make sure that there's not been any kind of discrepancies in any of the voting or anything like that. They flag it immediately if anything looks off in any way. But yeah, it just ensures that everything is accurate and that we really maintain the integrity of the awards, and they do not share it with us until they literally on that stage that night, they've got the envelopes and they hand them physically from the Deloitte person to the presenter that walks out and reads it.
You know, it feels like, you know, the ACMs are, they're happening so quick, and it's the first big award show since pandemic. And I hear your email just blowing up. Is your life now, right now, like, hey, let me get on that show. Let me get a music performance slot on that show. I mean, is it just all the time right now for you?
It is. Although, you know, I'll say at this point, we're done with the booking at this point. But the last, you know, 2 months has definitely been that way. We've had a ton of interest, which has been great, in being involved with the show. But I have to say, it's going to be this year, in, you know, talking with our executive producer, Rack Clark, who works tirelessly on this show. We figured out that we've got like 25 artists in the show performing, and it's going to be like 40 hits in the show. It's probably going to be more songs than and artists than we've ever had in an ACM show. So it's pretty incredible, being that, you know, in the midst of COVID, we're able to be in these three incredible venues and have more music than we've ever had. But that's what we were really going for, was just to have a night that truly is celebrating music and bringing some comfort to the fans, and just giving everybody just a really good time and a great way to reflect on all these great artists that are going to win these big awards.
If I can toot your horn for a second, you know, you guys have suggested that these artists play hits. You mentioned that, you know, because sometimes on award shows, an artist wants to play their thing that's about to come or has just started. And we, the viewer watching, go, I don't even know this song. However, as I look at the list here of songs that these artists are playing, Gabby Barrett's playing I Hope. Carrie Underwood's doing a classic country melody. You have Miranda Lambert doing Bluebird. Morgan Wallen's doing Whiskey Glasses. You have, so like, as a thank you from me to you and how you're putting on the show, because I feel like I speak for a lot of the viewers, like, thank you for having these artists do songs that we know.
That was a big important part of it. Yeah, as we, you know, we wanted to bring some familiarity, and we really want to bring, you know, some that the fans really just, they want to sing along. And so we felt that that was really important. And so there are a lot of songs that, you know, the fans are certainly going to know every word by heart. We even have a huge opening at the beginning of the show where all of our entertainers of the year, the nominees for Entertainer of the Year, are all going to perform one of their first ever number one hits. So you're going to hear classic hits from the entertainer nominees that they haven't performed on stage, you know, in years and years. So it's going to be pretty neat to see all of that. But there's also going to be, you know, a few songs that, you know, maybe people are a little less familiar with, but we're excited about that because we really want to hit the right tone. And, you know, there's just some really beautiful songs, such as Trisha Yearwood is going to be doing an In Memoriam, which is unlike anything we've ever done before. And she's doing a beautiful song called I'll Carry You Home. Mickey Guyton, of course, is going to do What Are You Going to Tell Her, which is an incredibly powerful song. So I'm excited just, you know, for people to hear some music that they also haven't memorized yet.
A couple of those other ones that are newer that I'm looking forward to are Luke Combs doing Better Together from the Bluebird, which I think is going to be freaking great. And then Maren Morris doing To Hell and Back, which she's played on my show pretty recently, and it's just such a good song. So it's like there's a distinction you have to make between wanting to hear a hit or if it's just so compelling new, and I think you guys have really nailed that.
It's a good mix, and, you know, and it's interesting, like Thomas Rhett is performing with John Party. They're doing Beer Can't Fix, which they were originally going to do that back in April, and we were really glad that they're still going to do that because it's a lot of, you know, going to be a lot of fun. And Old Dominion, too, I think one fun thing for this year is that they're going to do a medley of their number one hits. And so that's great, too, because I think fans are going to hear that and just go, you know, wow, I love all of these songs. And so it's just going to be wall-to-wall music and just a lot of great artists.
All right, Damon. Well, I feel like just in this call, you have 73 emails to return, just this that I heard, and probably 100 texts. So I'll let you go. But let me remind everybody, Wednesday, September 16th at 7 Central, wherever you are, but 7 Central. Keith Urban's hosting. It's the ACM Awards. I personally cannot wait because I've been craving a good old live country music awards show. Been wanting this one since April, and I'm super pumped it's in Nashville, damn it. So good luck and thank you.
And we're going to
be? I will be there. I'll be presenting. I would rather toot your horn than mine during this segment, but I will be presenting. And it's there's no red carpet. It's all COVID. So it's like you go in, you do your deal, you don't touch anybody else, right? And then you're done.
Absolutely, yeah. It is all touchless, and artists just stop their butts, walk in, they do their thing, and they walk out, and they never near anybody else except for, you know, maybe their own personal manager. That's it.
I love a touchless ceremony. All right, Damon.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you, my friend. Good luck.
All right. Take care, sir. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Bye-bye. That is Damon Whiteside, president of the ACMs. Here's the thing. For me, well, I'm not taking a date. I would have taken Caitlin. I was taking her back when the original one was happening. Mm-hmm. So I would have taken Caitlin, but I still have to buy or find nice clothes. Mostly I have to buy them because I'm not famous, so no one wants to give me clothes to wear because then it makes the clothes look cool. So I have to buy it. I'm super pumped that I get to do this. But the one mini drawback is I have to go buy new clothes for the award show.
You haven't had to do that in a while.
I haven't. That's a good thing, though. All right. Thanks to Damon Whiteside. And you guys, be sure to check out the ACMs. So what I have here is a list from Slate. A list of the dirtiest number one songs before WAP. Eddie, you know what WAP is?
Yeah, that's the new song. If it came on, I wouldn't even really recognize it, but I heard of it.
It's WAP, not WAP, right, Mike?
WAP, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of stay away from
it. Not to be confused with that. What's that other one? The WAP. Remember that one?
Yeah, but...
By Jay Dash?
Completely different, though. Do you know what WAP stands for, right?
No.
Oh, you don't? Hold you on. Don't know the whole reason of this that we're about to do this story?
No, I do not. What is it?
The W in WAP stands for wet.
Yep.
And is A S P?
Wet A P.
Okay, got it.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Do we have a edited version? Because
there is not an edited version.
Yeah, there is because I've heard it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could find it.
So, yeah, so that's a very dirty song. And, you know, it's Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion,
yep.
Right? Okay. So I have a list here of the dirtiest number one songs before. What's that?
It's the edited version.
I said certified freak, 7 days a week. Wet. Make that game weak.
I want to hear the hook. So instead of wet AP, what they say.
Beat it up, baby.
Here we go.
Look at my thighs, as wet as wet. Come take a dive. Tie me up like I'm surprised. That's role play. I wear disguise. I want you to park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage. Make me dream, make it stream. I don't public, make the scene. I don't cook, I don't clean. But let me tell you, I got this ring.
Gobble me, swallow me, drip down inside of me. Quit, jump out for you, let it get inside of me. I tell them where to put it, never tell them where I'm about to be. I run down on them, fuck me. Talk your pal, bite your lip. Ask for a call while you ride that dick. Why you really ain't never got him for a thing. He already made his mind up before he came. Now get your boot.
Anyway, we can hear a hook here.
Look, I need a hard hit, I need, and that's where I'm headed. Cookie A1.
Because I feel like I need to go to confession. I'm not even Catholic.
Happening right now.
But I'm looking for a beat. Cut it out of the edited version.
Oh, you're saying they may have cut the whole thing out?
Big D stamp or big demeanor.
Well, Eddie, you get it, right?
I think I get the idea, Bones.
WAP is
dude,
wet.
If I went home and my kids were listening to this crap, I would freak out.
Okay, well, that's why I bring up this list here. The number 15 dirtiest songs before WAP, according to Slate. Number 15, Whistle from Flo Rida, 2012. Now, can you blow my whistle, baby? And kids were singing this like crazy because they just thought it. But you know what blow my whistle is, obviously?
I think I have an idea.
Yeah.
It's nothing dirty about blowing a whistle. Obviously, there's a second meaning.
No, that's the first meaning.
Oh. Not just blowing the whistle?
No. And then they whistle in it to cover their bases a little bit. Lollipop from Lil Wayne, which was very dirty. It's like...
Same as a whistle, right?
Yeah. Like my lollipop. These are all number one songs, by the way. Akon with Snoop Dogg of you, but the original version is I Wanna F You.
Very dirty.
Yeah.
Dang.
Here you go.
I know you see me looking at you and you already know you.
Oh, there's a, that's the bad version.
Whoa.
That's the bad version.
Dang.
We got to like flip that or something.
I'll reverse it.
Okay. I was not expecting that either.
Did it for effect.
Holy crap. And number 12 is Ludacris, Moneymaker. That one doesn't seem so dirty as compared to Lollipop and Whistle and I Just Want to Blank You.
No, because what's Moneymaker? Your butt?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Not bad.
No, it's not so bad. And numbers, now there's number 11, Laffy Taffy. Same thing, same kind of thought. Yeah.
I don't understand the Laffy Taffy.
What do you mean? It's your butt.
Yeah, but how is a butt a Laffy Taffy?
Well, it's a thick piece of chewable. That's what it is.
Okay, got it.
You never thought of it like that?
No, never. I've never looked at a butt and be like, that's a Laffy Taffy.
Well,
right
but
there.
You heard Laffy Taffy knew his butt, like thick and chewy. Shake that Laffy Taffy.
Yeah. Yeah, now
at least that's what I think.
I don't think it's a butt.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
Why do you not think it's a butt?
Well, I just looked it up on Urban Dictionary and it's not a butt.
Oh.
Oh, Bones. You're wrong. I never thought it was a butt.
You thought it was the front?
I mean, I didn't think anything about it. What is it,
I
Mike?
Always thought Shake That Laugh Tape was the butt.
It's not the back, it's the front.
Oh. Oh.
Well, I feel weird about that song now.
Okay.
There's a reason it was never in Laffy Taffy commercials, apparently. Candy Shop, 50 Cent. That was always a pretty dirty one. 2005. I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop. I mean, come on. I'll take you to the candy shop. Lick the lollipop. Hit the spot. Whoa. 2005. We used to play on the radio all the time. I mean, dirty, dirty, dirty. Number 9, Slow Motion, Juvenile. Slow motion for me, moving slow motion for me. Oh, I like it like that. You know that one?
Heard it.
You don't know it, though?
That's not too dirty, right?
Then it gets into the verses, and it gets a little more descriptive in what he wants in slow motion.
Okay. he describes it one by one.
Oh. Here, we can listen to a second of it. Oh, well, there you go. Now we got to reverse that. Did you hear that, Eddie?
I did hear it. That was the number one, too?
Yeah, it was number one. It came out and he goes, I'm a D thrower, but unedited. You put all these in for effect for us. Yeah. Number 8 is Too Close from Next. Massive song. Just about basically dancing and getting a boner.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. This is a jam. This song was a jam. And I was a teenager when this song came out. And I remember thinking, this is a good song. Baby Got Back, 1992. Number 7 on the dirtiest number ones.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. And when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
Which pull up just was a butt song. But then he did hit us with the My Anaconda Don't Want None Unless You Got Buns Hun. And when you refer to your penis as an anaconda in a song, it does elevate the dirty level.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Number 6 is Cream from Prince, which is very dirty. I've never listened to that song to be dirty. Now I know.
Me either.
It's extremely dirty. I guess we're just, they're just kind of hiding in plain sight, but they just turn us a little bit to the right. So we're like, what the? And we don't see it. It's like, I thought Whistle was about a coach.
Uh-huh. Yeah, here's my whistle. Blow it.
Number 5. We'll get to the top 5 dirtiest songs here. Like a Virgin from Madonna is number 5. 1984, I imagine this song was extremely controversial.
For sure.
Massive, but and I don't remember it. Obviously, I was too young. But just having the word virgin in a song is probably crazy. Number four, Afternoon Delight from the Starland Vocal Band, 1976. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon Delight.
Come on.
That feels like a folksy porno song. Like Mama's in the Pop is singing that about getting it on later.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not breaking down Afternoon Delight or what it means, it kind of sounds like a very just generic song.
A fun lunch with the family, except it's not. Yeah. Number three is Ray Stevens' The Streak, which is... Oh, yes, they call him The Streak. It's about someone who streaks more than...
That's funny you threw that in there.
I didn't put it in here. And I love Ray Stevens. Number two, Chuck Berry, 1972, My Ding-a-ling.
My ding-a-ling, I love to play with my ding-a-ling. My ding-a-ling.
You've heard this before?
Yeah, I used to play it all the time for fun, to be funny.
Funny, man.
Yeah, 1972. And then finally, Eddie, the number one song, a massively famous song. What do you think the... It's tough to go, what do you think the number one is? But what do you think the number one dirtiest is? Probably one of the biggest songs in American pop culture history.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Extremely famous opening riff.
Beat It?
No. Earlier. Although Beat It's funny.
That was stupid.
Earlier, one of the biggest groups in rock and roll history.
So the Beatles?
No, the second biggest. I said one of them. Who's the second biggest?
The Rolling Stones?
Okay. 1965, Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm. 65. I can't get no satisfaction?
Satisfaction, yeah. That's it.
Really?
Here it is. There you go. I guess back in the day, that was a very dirty song.
Huh. He's just saying, like, he just can't get any?
I guess not. You know, all these songs kind of hide it a little bit. They never go right at it. WAP goes right at it.
Yeah, dude, there's no hiding that one. And the other Snoop Dogg one that you played.
Yeah, I just want to blank you. Akon and Snoop Dogg. Yeah, that one doesn't hide it either, I guess.
Yeah, just go right at it.
Yeah. That's a good point. That one just goes. At one point, there was an Enrique Iglesias song, "Cause Tonight I'm Loving You," and it was a hit. But the real version was "Cause Tonight I'm New." Did you know that?
Yeah. I remember. You played that one too.
Yeah. Shocking. Okay.
You might have broken that news to me. I think we were playing golf or something. You're like, dude, do you know what that really means? We're like, whoa, that's crazy.
Because obviously we're listening to Enrique as we're playing golf.
For sure. That's all we did.
All right. We just wanted to spend 10 minutes or so on going over. I thought this was so funny. I didn't want to make it a significant part of the podcast. And I wanted to put it at the very end in case people didn't want to get sexified on the podcast. But that's a list of the dirtiest number one songs before WAP. Eddie, promote your podcast.
Sore Losers Podcast, me, Lunchbox, and Ray. We sports podcast, but we do talk about a lot about our lives and just kind of what we do personally.
All right, there you go. Check out the Sore Losers. All right, Eddie, thank you.
Thanks, man.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified? Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.